is Thursday. Good morning and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for being at the other end of the radio waves, also the telephone line, the Twitter machine, the email device, and all the ways we have to communicate with each other nowadays. So please do not be a stranger. Join the conversation at 414-1234 on the phone. It's 800-926-8809 for the long distance line, and Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email communication. Oh, at WFSU Perspective is the Twitter connection if you want to go that route. And thank you again for joining us today. Some of us are old enough to remember the bad old days of Jim Crow and segregation in the South. And despite all that, there were a few pockets of prosperity. Because forced to essentially do business with itself, Tallahassee's African-American community spawned stores and shops and restaurants, a hotel, many other enterprises to serve its residents. But over time, as times changed, most of those businesses kind of faded away. And today, with entrepreneurship, the hot topic in the world of commerce, women and minority folks are looking for the tools and resources traditionally more difficult for them to obtain to make their dreams of owning their own business a reality and their personal dreams come true. We're going to talk about minority and women-owned enterprise today on Perspectives, that entrepreneurship faction now being supported by a whole coalition of partners, many of whom are represented at our table today, and we're going to get right into it here. Let's first go around the table here from my right, your left on the radio. Let's say hi first to Sean Pittman, founder and board chair of the Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce and just all-around guy about town. Sean, it's good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Tom, and thanks for having us here.
Right today. Next door to you here, the fellow, in full disclosure, you and I used to work together moons ago. Daryl Jones is deputy director of the Minority Women and Small Business Enterprise Unit of the Leon County Office of Economic Vitality. Daryl, we are so happy to see you, sir.
I'm delighted to be here.
All righty. Right across from Mr. Pittman here is a lady by the name of Gina Kinchelow, board member of the Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce and kind of our guiding light in putting this whole thing together. Miss Gina, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you for having us.
And a dear old friend joins us once again, Altamise Barnes, former John G. Riley House Museum, Lord High Head Honchoette, executive director, and all-around incredible person.
All of those things.
And historian of the black community here in Tallahassee. And you know more people, Ms. Altamise, than I think anybody could shake a stick at in about 10 lifetimes. Thanks for coming back on.
Always good to be here, Tom.
Let's start with a little bit of history here. I kind of started out here with, I recall, when we moved down to Tallahassee here, it wasn't even 1980 yet. And our first trip through places like Frenchtown, and I was amazed at the vibrancy of that community. It wasn't like it was in its real, real heyday, but still there were shops and stores and salons and all kinds of things down there. It went away. What happened?
The whims of time took its toll, new development, new people moving into the area without much of an appreciation or even an acknowledgement of what those businesses meant to so many people, not only in the black community, but beyond. And it is for that reason that for the past 3 years, the Riley House has taken upon itself to recognize some of those few black-owned businesses, particularly in Frenchtown, where the owners have passed on, but their offspring saw fit to keep the businesses open. So that's sort of my part here today, to talk about the upcoming Pioneers Gala for Riley, where we are recognizing one of those businesses, Gillum Brothers Barbershop. Interesting thing about history and research is that for years I passed and I saw Gillum Brothers Barbershop, but I really had no feel for that name. But in then doing the oral history with the two sons who are now carrying on Reverend Irvin Gillum's legacy and a 21-year-old grandson of his, I discovered that Mr. Reverend Gillum founded the barbershop in 1966 and brought his older brother, Venis Gillum, into the business. So that's where the name Gillum Brothers how that came about.
Now, there's going to be a new development in that little saga, and we want to get back to you on that in just a little bit. That history is not done yet.
Yes.
Well, we have an organization here that is focusing on minority business as far as networking and forming alliances and being an advocate for that. And that, Sean Pittman, was kind of your bailiwick. You came up with a brand new chamber of commerce in this community. What gave you the wherewithal to move in that direction?
Well, Tom, as you know, I mean, in this day and time, there's not a lot of new things out there. But when you're living in a city like Tallahassee and you think about what we think of ourselves, this was one of those things that was missing. When you go to other cities and areas that believe they're progressive and believe they're moving to the next century, and to be ready for it, most of them have this already, and in Tallahassee, we were lacking in having a strong organization to focus and concentrate on women and minority-owned businesses, and not just to concentrate, but to concentrate in a grassroots sort of level. Oftentimes, you have businesses with one and two persons controlling and working the business that they don't have time to come to your luncheon and they don't have time to come to your office. But we need organizations that have time to go to them. And we have a lot of businesses where the people are mastering their craft, but it doesn't mean they're great business people. Right. So they may need to learn about how you do your accounting. They may need to learn about how you can grow beyond your walls and do a website that's interactive. Sometimes they just need help and guidance on how they can grow their business. And for Tallahassee, that's a win-win, because if you take a business that has one or two persons and just the fact that they are a part of an organization like the Big Ben Minority Chamber, they learn the kind of things that would help them grow if they want to grow. Then that's four or five more people to have jobs. So it is a win-win situation where you can have a growing economy that leaves no group demographic left behind. And that's why the Big Ben Minority Chamber is here.
That is certainly one resource for it, but I'm also thinking of not only for the existing businesses within the women and minority community, but say here's a fellow I know, in fact, I do know, who is leaving a state job because that position was eliminated. He was a program analyst for one of the agencies here in town. He is now out on his own, and he has always wanted to start his own business. And I'm thinking Daryl Jones, now that we have in the wake of the no longer EDC, or Economic Development Group here in town. We have the new Office of Economic Vitality. Your bailiwick is to help that person kind of get off the ground, obtain financing, maybe identify a market, and make this thing happen, right?
And not directly. Through the Office of Economic Vitality, we would be a resource most specifically for those businesses that we certify, certifying minority women and small businesses to take advantage of the largesse that comes through both municipal and county contracts for services, construction. But what we will do is we would hope that as the Office of Economic Vitality, we can be that resource for them to help to point them in the right direction. There are so many wonderful partners, most to include the Big Ben Minority Chamber, who constitute what we call the business ecosystem. In the business ecosystem, you find CareerSource, who can help any startup business with their labor force. We have the FAMU Small Business Development Center that provides just a wealth of opportunity in terms of instruction and marketing, accounting, financial services, identifying financing opportunities, and as a part of that ecosystem, I feel it's our responsibility to help already emerging as well as seasoned businesses to build capacity by making them aware of all the resources that exist. Our minority businesses, there is one of the things that I would hope that they would take advantage of is the opportunity that is inherent through minority chamber membership, because business starts with people that we know. I go to the drugstore that I go to because the pharmacist knows my name. When I walk in, he says, "Hey, Mr. Darrell," and I say, "Hey," and he gets me my medicine. Well, that type of relationship is important. And so that's why chamber memberships, registering, being a certified business, and all the things that constitute this ecosystem all help to businesses to build capacity.
Ms. Gina, we talked about this out in the lobby before the program got underway, of how so many folks will look at a major corporation, one of these big chains, and say, "Oh, you know, I'd love to be in that business, but I can't compete with them on a one-to-one basis, whether it's price or online capacity or anything else." But as Darrell was saying, that one-on-one relationship, this is a niche that the small local business can really take advantage of.
That's so true. The relationships are important, and that's at any business level. Even at big Fortune 500 corporate level, businesses understand that relationships are what make a business successful. And so I think that's an advantage that small businesses have. And I think it's wonderful that there are consumers here in our community who want that relationship. They want you to know their name, and they want you to recognize them when you come in and do business with them.
That's the old customer service adage, that you cannot package that, and you cannot get that off of a website of someone just reaching out and touching you and having that as Darrell said, you walk into the pharmacy, they know your name and they know what you want, and sometimes they'll even pick up the phone if something new and exciting comes in and says, "Hey, here's something you got to check out. You got to come back in and see what I got for you."
And if I might make a plug, I'm sure Ms. Barnes will appreciate this. I'd like to give a shout out to the Economy Drugstore in Frenchtown with Alexis McMillan, who is my pharmacist, a historic family-owned business, what, three generations now? Right there in the heart of Frenchtown. When I walk in, I get a "Hey, baby," they've got my stuff. They provide services in a way unlike what you would find in other places. I love it.
We're talking minority business here on Perspectives on WFSU, and 414-1234 is the number if you'd like to join the conversation, or 800-926-8809. We'll be back in just a moment. We are back on Perspectives, talking about the resources available here to not only help existing minority and women-owned businesses in our community, but also for those folks who may be in the market to start that kind of an enterprise as well. And a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to that address, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and then click Perspectives, because we archive past shows. We try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs, so you can go back and hear it again and again and again. Ms. Barnes, we did not want to cut you off there, but you were talking about, again, some of the historic businesses that are in operation. Despite the changing times and the flood of competition from the big corporations and all that. And, of course, Ms. Alexis down there at Economy Drugs in Frenchtown is one of them. And there are several more that still survive to this day, right?
Yes, that is correct. As I said earlier, Gillum's Brother Barber Shop is still there. Now, Strong & Jones is another one of those businesses where the owners, the descendants of the owners, saw fit to keep that business going. And, in fact, they were one of the businesses recognized as a pioneer through the Riley program. I see the work that the Minority Women's Chamber and what Darrell are doing as a way to incentivize, to inspire the existing and emerging. And then I also see what Riley is doing as we call out these younger people who decided to keep the legacy going, serve as an inspiration to those who are now in business trying to make it happen. And these longtime businesses have skills, have experiences, have things like relationships. When Daryl mentioned economy, I was already seeing back in time, because I'm a fourth generation Tallahassean, the minute people would walk in economy, Mr. Roberts, in his very deep baritone voice, regardless to the status of whatever of the person, he knew just about anybody who walked in that drugstore. And when that bell rang at the door, good afternoon, Miss Griffin, how are you? How are things? Come on in. And so a big part, as Gina said too, of black businesses is the fact that they know how to relate to people. It's a part of the culture to relate.
Absolutely.
The barbershop, everybody, beauty shop, everybody knew who was coming to town, right, what the political events would be, the climate, because that's where people gathered. And people of all walks of life. Out of Gillum's barbershop, you had A.S. Gaither, President Perry, Judge Hatchett. All of them went there. Mayor Gillum goes there now to get his hair cut. So I think it's just great to have the entities that we have represented here. Absolutely. And then to have some businesses that continue to exist so that they can come together and share.
Right. Now, Ms. Gina Kinchlow, how do you get younger people, though, excited about the prospect here? They may have some other ideas about how they would like their life course to proceed, but to say that there are opportunities here to start your own business. And it may be old school like a barbershop. And there's a reason Michelle Martin used to call that political get-together that she'd have the barbershop, because she'd bring in all these folks and they'd talk about it.
Yeah.
But to maybe leverage some of the new types of businesses that are out today and to let them know that there's something in it for them if they go that way.
Well, you know, I think that that's one of the challenges that we have in the five-county area that we serve with our Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce, is to retain young people here in this community. Millennials really are not starting businesses as rapidly as we think they should be. They know the technology. They grew up on it. They've got a lot of bright ideas. But nationally speaking, the research shows that they're not starting businesses as quickly as we'd like for them to. When you start a business, it means jobs. And the research shows that. Startups create jobs. And we'd like to retain more millennials here. We would like to retain more university graduates who will stay here and start businesses and help us with our own local entrepreneurial ecosystem. There's a lot of different ways to do that. But it really does take a concerted effort. You know, young people want nightlife. They want time away from work. They want opportunities to meet others and start their families. They want to know that they can educate their children here in a way that's going to be suitable and acceptable for them. So I think from our chamber standpoint, and Sean can kind of speak to this as well, because I think this was part of his vision when he started our chamber, was to give young people a reason to be here. And so we start councils, and we have different events and activities that are going to help attract and retain those young people.
Talking to a lot of folks, Sean Pittman, that look back, as Ms. Altamese was saying, to the days when there was more vibrancy of a commercial force within the community. Why is it you go into some neighborhoods and the only businesses that are there are owned and operated by people outside the community? And that just seems to be counterintuitive when there are so many opportunities we talk about, whether it's food deserts or anything else. That, you know, why not, you know, help those folks start those businesses and serve the community they're already in?
Well, I think to some extent, you know, you've got to sort of let them know that it's possible, right? I mean, resources are scarce, and the and that having a real impact on what you decide to do. I mean, it's, what are we pretending not to know here when we talk about that, right? I mean, resources are something that's needed. One of the things that we try to do, and it was Gina's brilliance, I think, is, you know, we our plan to work with the new superintendent of schools and actually get in the schools and try to and get that in the minds of young people when they're thinking about what's possible, when they don't have the limitations in their mind that somehow gets in their mind later on, right? I mean, but when kids actually are sitting back thinking of what they can achieve. I mean, some of our biggest things that were unimaginable for adults were really developed in the mind of somebody that was young and thinking. I mean, FedEx, to be an example, right? I mean, so we want to touch kids at the level where they're doing the most imagination, and we want to let them know that, you know what, jobs are limited. There's a capacity as it relates to job. In our community, the thing that we need you to do is start thinking about how you can create jobs. And we believe that that will be helpful. That will provide an answer to the question that you asked, because it'll come naturally that it's not just about looking for a job, but it's about creating opportunities for people to have jobs. We need to do that early. We need to do that while they're still thinking of these things that are impossible, because it's not so impossible.
Well, and to have that kind of mentorship that is already set up there to bring, when it comes to political consulting and that sort of thing, you are the guy. You know, you can go into a classroom and say, here is one opportunity in this government-dominated town where politics is the coin of the realm. You can be successful. You can make this happen. You can provide a service that people will say, wow, there's value in that. I'm going to pay money for that.
Yeah, there's not much money in it, though. But there is a feeling that you cannot replace in being able to help good people who decide they want to go into political office and do great things to help them get there. That's a pride that is priceless. And in this community, we see a lot of that.
And Darrell Jones, when you mentioned this earlier in the conversation here, when it comes to providing other kinds of services to a still very dominant government and university kind of town, many of those products and services come from far away. We could bring some of that business back home.
Well, you know, one of the things that we, the Office of the Minority Women and Small Business Enterprise, we want to help those persons who are certified through our program to be the best businesses they can be. So if we can, in our position as the certifier, help them to harness other resources in the community to help them build capacity, as stewards of the public trust, we can help to ensure that the persons who are building our buildings and paving our roads and providing professional expertise that informs the services that meet the needs of our government and subsequently our constituency, that's a win-win situation. Through the Minority Women in Small Business Office, we want our businesses to see it as a member benefit. Not only do they have access to the procurement opportunities, but they have access to all the resources found in the ecosystem. A part of our strategic plan is to also help our minority women and small businesses take advantage of other solicitations that they might be unaware
Absolutely.
Of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you certify with us, we would hope that we can then help to inform you of opportunities that are going to be at Florida A&M University. If I might give a shout out to my friend, they're now going to build a brand new black student union at Florida State University that Sean Pittman helped to make possible. Well, we want to make certain that they're going to use minority subs and
Absolutely.
Contractors.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the construction company could be minority owned, right? And so if we talk about this and keep conversations like this going, talking about the benefit inherent through both employability as well as making certain that ensuring a quality product by using minority-owned businesses, these conversations are very important.
Exactly.
And we see ourselves as a resource in making those opportunities and those options known.
Well, you are the conduit. You are the connector to all of those things then.
That's kind of what we hope to be also, if I could interject, because what you're talking about, Tom, is something that minority and women-owned businesses continue to struggle with. It's not the relationship building that we can't do. We still struggle with things like tapping into the right kinds of networks. You know, the networking is just so important. We still have a lack of role models, people who can step up and speak up for us on our behalf. Those are just some of the challenges. Access to capital for women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses is still a problem, you know. And so when we look at what our chamber is trying to do, we want to make sure that we're in lockstep with organizations like the Office of Economic Vitality, particularly their small minority women business owner division, because all of us need to come together. The problem, as I see it, is that often we spend so much time in our businesses, we just don't have time to work on our businesses. And so we really need to develop that entrepreneurial mindset. And that's where our chamber is going, through our councils and our leads meetings and staying connected to the others in the ecosystem. We want our members to know that it's a business and there's more to it than knowing your customers' names. While that is important, there's a whole back office of support that you really need to know about and solidify to keep your business vibrant.
That old left brain, right brain thing we talked about earlier in the conversation.
Right.
414-1234, the local number for Perspectives, 800-926-8809, and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. Our old friend Reed joins us via telephone. Hello, Reed.
Good morning, Tom. How
are
you doing?
Hey, we are doing fine, sir. Thank you for calling.
My pleasure. You know, I couldn't help but chuckle. This kind of reminds me of what we were talking about during the roundtable last week when we were talking about what's necessary to make a business thrive and grow. And certainly it applies to minority businesses especially. And I'll go back to my original point, in spite of the fact that I got a caller responding to me last week. You'll remember this. He said, you know, we don't really need all that stuff. What we need are lower taxes and less regulation.
I recall, yep.
And I said, and I thought to myself, yeah, that's great if you want to open a steel mill, but we're not going to open any steel mills in Tallahassee. What we need is education. What we need is infrastructure, and what we need is health care. So a thriving business who wants to locate here or who wants to initiate itself here knows it can do that with a workforce that is trained, that is ready to take the challenge, and is educated in the things that the 21st century economy requires. And I think the efforts of the chamber and the efforts of the of all our universities can make that happen in Tallahassee.
Well, there's certainly a primary driver of so much of this, Reed, and I'm seeing nods of affirmation all around the table here. I think you made a good point, and you certainly have some friends here. But to the other point that you made, I recall speaking to a very savvy business person here in town, whom I've admired greatly for many years, who also said, yes, lower taxes, less regulation, those are that's part of the overall environment, but the thing that drives the number of jobs in any particular business are how many customers do you have? If no one is pounding on your door, you're not going to be hiring more people to serve customers who do not exist. And that's the main thing. It's just like economy drugstore. If they're, Ms. Altamis, if that customer base goes away, they have to close down. Sorry. Nothing's going to keep that door open.
Well, we see that with the Walgreens that's leaving, right? And as we said earlier, how interesting is it that the historic African-American pharmacy is still functioning in Frenchtown, and just down the street, not even a mile away, the Walgreens couldn't exist. You know,
the economy remains.
Exactly. So, and we also, so there's a lot of buy local. There's a lot of efforts to try to get us to as a community to focus in on where we need things to be successful. But You know, there's just too much of a gap in this area of the have and the have-nots. And what we need here is a balance. You know, in construction, there's too many of the same people getting all the jobs as opposed to making sure that the people that are skinny because they're not able to eat get a chance to at the trough as well. There's too much of an imbalance between, you know, our efforts to make things like an 18-hour downtown function and the other efforts that just sort of send people in other places. Our Southside community, we know what the needs are there, but yet it's still just a conversation. So we got to, it's not just about working harder as a community, but it's about working smarter and trying to give a balance with where these opportunities are and who receives these opportunities. How much can you take in, you know, because the bottom line is if we don't really try to help the least amongst us, the least among us, then we will still not grow and be strong as a community. We have to, that middle gap is just getting wider and we got to do something about it. Yeah. I mean, the New York Times said that about Tallahassee based on where people live. You know, we're one of the communities in this country where the wealthy live way over here and the poor people live way down there. I don't know that you can do anything about that, just the makeup of our geography, but it does suggest something about when it flows into business and opportunities.
Right.
We'll be back and talk more about minority and women-owned business and opportunities and resources to help those opportunities grow and flourish right here on Perspectives, 414-1234. And we are back on Perspectives. Good to have you at the other end of the line. Bill, let's start off with you here on our Perspectives, focusing on minority business and opportunity. Hey, Bill. Hello, Bill. Let's see, we got that up there, guys? Here we go. You on the line, Bill? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just concerned about a sense of situational awareness and real historical perspective. African Americans have been free in this area for over 147 years, and it seems like to still be talking about small business in an age of multinational corporations and technology, we need to be talking about something much larger. The other perspective is that nothing is deliberately said, but it almost seems as though minority people are ignorant or unaware of how to do business, and then that we are still in this situation. And that begs the question of the whole 80 to 100 years of Jim Crow economic and political oppression that actually created these current conditions. Do we need to be talking about FAMU and SBI creating a multinational corporation instead of a mom and pop, you know, drugstore?
Boy, that's a wonderful question. Let's throw that out here to everyone and see what kind of ideas we can bat around, Bill. He's kind of saying we got to start big picture stuff instead of the little mom and pops.
Well, Professor Kinchlow will tell you that at Florida A&M University and the School of Business and Industry, they now do have an entrepreneur curriculum now, but much different than what they used to
teach,
which was primarily preparing people to go into corporate America. And then this goes back to what we talk about, the importance of the chamber and the importance of the Minority Women Small Business Enterprise Program that we have with the Office of Economic Vitality. We make persons who are interested in starting businesses about the resources that are here at both FAMU, FAMU's SBDC. You have the Jim Moran Institute. You have the Entrepreneurship School at Florida State, also named for Jim Moran. And so the beauty of our community, when we talk about the flight of millennials from this community, if we make people aware of the, for lack of a better word, the banquet of opportunities that are, exists for us to help people build capacity, when people dream and think broadly and widely, mm-hmm. both minority, women, small businesses, existing businesses, seasoned businesses, there are resources here in this ecosystem to help them to refashion and retool themselves. And so although there's nothing wrong with mom and pop, because we know that our statistics tell us that it's mom and pops who are the persons who are more than likely creating the economic engine that drives this country. They're also providing the greatest opportunity for employability in this country and in this community. So, but even those who have an idea that can go beyond what we call our Big Bend area, then there are resources, the Big Bend Minority Chamber, there is the Jimmerant. If you dream widely, there's someone here who can help you with your idea and help you to broaden the expand. So this, what we wanted to do today is to highlight for everyone, minority, women, and small businesses, that there is a banquet available. You just need to come up to the table and eat.
And so many folks just don't know. One of the biggest problems that I've seen in the many years we've done this program is the number of people who do not know what all is available. And you think, gee, just go online, Google it, and you'll have this plethora of things you can look at. But a lot of people still don't know where to turn, how to proceed, and you have some mechanisms like the chamber that can help give that some, at least some organization and some structure.
Well, and I mean, if we can speak to a couple of the points that the caller raised, when it comes to African Americans and entrepreneurism, we have a long, rich history that extends well beyond 100 some odd years of starting our own businesses. And I think that's what Mrs. Barnes was speaking to when she's talking about these historic minority-owned businesses here that are still here. That speaks to our rich history of knowing how to start and sustain our businesses. And so the discussion today is not so much about minorities don't know how or why are we still talking about small business. Excuse me. Small businesses are the backbone of this country, and without them, a lot of people would not have jobs. And so it's a very relevant topic. Multinational corporations, yes, there is a place for them on this planet as well, but you will always need small businesses. And so our discussion is about how to show that entrepreneur, that small business owner, how to take what they have and grow it. And that's where women and minorities are being left behind. We are not connecting into networks the way that we should. Most of our businesses are sole proprietorships. We need to learn how to partner. We've got to be able to go into banks and other lending institutions, venture capitalists, et cetera, and we've got to be able to get the dollars needed to grow our businesses. Those are just some of our challenges. We need more mentoring. You know, the good old boy network, I'm not against that network because that's a network that has worked very well for men. Women need to get that good old girls network and make it work for us that we can tap into those opportunities as well. People hire who they know and they like.
That's kind of human nature.
And she's right. And you need a pulpit right now because you're preaching. I would say to Bill that your comments are not lost on us. It is a part of what we're trying to do. 98% of people employed in this community are employed by small businesses. As much as we would like to have multinational companies invented and developed and here in our area, it's not happening like that. We have to meet people where they are and then help them realize how they can grow beyond their walls and grow beyond where they are. And sometimes we got to just help that happen. Let's take our lawn guy. There's a guy out there, a woman out there who cuts yards to make money and doesn't realize that the city and the county puts out requests for proposals to cut yards, to do lawns. We are the bridge between them being out there doing their job and the information getting to them where they are, and growing beyond the 1 yard, getting winning a contract that helps them build their business,
right,
that helps them hire people right within their reach. So it's not, yes, we would love people to be able to create new technology ideas and gains and manufacture things and open up manufacturing companies here. We want women and minority-owned business to dream big. That's why we want to start when they're in middle school and teach them that don't worry, you know, don't just think you can work for somebody else. Understand that you can own your own business. I see my brother Darryl Jones smiling over here because
I'm jumping at the bench.
I'm going to let him take over this part because he knows exactly what I'm talking about, and we'll say it better than I did.
No, but not better, but what he describes is the beauty of the uplift that is made possible through the Minority Women and Small Business Enterprise Certification. We will have, annually there are contracts for landscaping. Well, what I envision is that a minority or women-owned business makes a bid for a contract. To meet the needs of that contract, they're going to need more employees than the ones they currently have on their team. So then that's an opportunity now to hire more people. And if he doesn't have the resources right now, through this ecosystem, I can refer him now to CareerSource and Jim McShane and Cara Palmer and the people over there who have monies that they can use to help him to hire that person for the first 90 days. Then I tell that person in this business ecosystem to now go and see Keith Bowers at the FAMU Small Business Development Center and to retool his business plan to respond to this growth. Then after that, tell him, now if you want to continue to see opportunities like this, as you remain certified, I want to make you aware of contracts over there at Florida State University, FAMU, also over at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. And if you need to partner with somebody, join the Big Bend Minority Chamber. That's and right. You can find out about other persons who are in your industry because you'll have a relationship with them. You see how all of that connects together? And here now, what had been, as was previously described, as mom and pop, that person now has the capacity to grow his business and serve the entire Big Bend.
He is suddenly an entrepreneur.
Putting more people to work.
Yes.
And it happens through this ecosystem. And that's why it's so wonderful to have these people who are sitting together at this table. Ms. Barnes will tell you about Gallon & Sons, another multi-generational business right here in this community. Gallon & Sons are the go-to people for HVAC services. There's very few buildings in this community that they didn't put the duct work in. And minority owned, but they worked within the ecosystem to build capacity. They got trucks all over the city, so it is possible to happen. But it's all about the energy that we need to provide. We need to educate our neighbors and our minority and women owned businesses. We need to equip them. We need to and then subsequently empower them to expand.
Well, the energy for most business is in the form of financing. I think Judy on line one wants to talk about that. Thanks for your patience, Judy. Welcome to Perspectives. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, panel. I would like you to talk about access to capital, because as we know, access to capital and access to markets are some of the major barriers for minority businesses being able to build capacity.
I know that voice.
That I'd like to raise has to do with the ways of going into business. Do we have the infrastructure here to help businesses change hands? I'm aware of a number of businesses who were ready to change hands. The owners were old. They wanted to retire. They wanted to get out of the business. But in terms of having the infrastructure in our community that will assist one in help transferring that business to another owner, both from the standpoint of individual owners and from the standpoint of employee buyouts. Those are some resources that are also very rich in helping minorities go into business.
Good point. Let's tap into that, Judy, and see what we can find out as far as, again, availability of capital. We know the stories about redlining and all of that kind of thing. Every now and then we come across a financial institution says, look, we have money available. We have capital. We're looking to invest in small business proposals. Is it, Sean Pittman, is that out there? Is the money to be had?
There is money to be had. Unfortunately, let's be real, it is not easy to get. It does take, it doesn't come to you, it doesn't sit, it won't come sit on your lap, unfortunately. It will take some effort. If you have a credit rating, that's obviously very important. Nobody's going to lend you money if you can't pay it back. So you've got to pay close attention to that. There are rating that your business needs a rating. That's very helpful. Dun & Bradstreet, I think it's called, is one of the companies that you need to put your business with and take it through some time and some years so that your credit, your business credit is good. But relationships are then also important. You know, you can't have bad credit. Your relationships won't be able to help you. Do that part. And then the relationships are the next step to help you. Look, there's the Black Business Investment Board that is state funding for businesses who meet certain criteria. That criteria is important for you to know. Find out what that criteria is. That's part of what being a part of these chambers and these business organizations, associations can help you with, is figuring out how to make that happen. The other thing is, you know, don't be afraid to be a subcontractor for something, you know, but be a real subcontractor where with every time you do it, you grow and you learn something that so that one day you are a prime contractor. There is money out there. It's not easy to get, but your credit rating, your relationships and the information to know where to go get it has got to be on the forefront of your effort.
And you don't loan money, you don't make financing available, Daryl Jones, through the Office of Economic Vitality, but do you have ways to say, okay, folks, here's how you go through that process of locating where the money might be?
Well, we do. We refer persons to the FAMU Small Business Development Center, who, as you all already know, is the local SBA lender in our area, but they're also, depending upon the idea, they also have or tap into angel networks, venture capitalists. So and certainly that issue of financing is real for everyone, but we do have a resource in the FAMU Small Business Development Center. And I'm very proud as a FAMU alum to know that they are the persons who are the bridge to that opportunity.
We are running short on time, but Ms. Altamise Barnes, I heard a rumor on the street that there may be a revitalization of commerce down there in the Smoky Hollow area, which used to be. That was before there was a French town. There was Smoky Hollow, and that's kind of where it all started here. Are we going to see a business back there?
Well, it's getting close. For a while there, we weren't too sure after that last RFP was not picked up, but it's it appears as though steps are being made to farther extend the reach of Cascades Park and come up with that counterpart to, say, the Cascades, if you will. Edison is fine, family, you know, adult dining, whatever, but what about when I have my younger nieces, nephews, whatever, and I want they want a hot dog or ice cream or something? I'm a part of the KCCI Waterworks Committee, and what we have talked about for the waterworks is once it's restored, let's make it a more family-friendly counterpart to the Edison, where with a Starbucks and things of that nature. But yeah, the old jail, the first public health building, that was one of the early historical, most historical areas in Tallahassee. So we are excited about what's about to happen there. I just hope I live so long as to see it come Legacy to fruition.
You ain't going nowhere.
Listen to that city. Listen to
you
that
are not
city
going
of Tallahassee.
Anywhere.
I want to live that long.
You will be here long after we are gone, Ms. Barnes. I have that feeling in my bones right now. Folks, that just about takes us out for this edition of Perspective. So much going on in our community.
Thanks
so,
for having us, Tom.
Thank you, Daryl Jones, Sean Pittman, Gina Kinslow, and of course, Altamise Barnes.
Thank you.
And we will be back and check in with you in just a little bit and see how this is all coming down as our minority and business enterprise as it relates to women in our community continues right here.
Tom, you're still the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Evan has been running the board today. We thank you so much, sir, for that. And Lydell Rawls on the community interface. And I'm Tom Flanagan. A preview of the Sustainable Communities Summit next week right here on Perspectives. And we didn't get to Dr.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.